Mammoth Mountain when the bad news came in. Treasure Planet grossed just $12 million in its opening weekend. The following Sunday, Schumacher called him with even worse news. Disney was announcing that it would take a $74 million write-down on Treasure Planet, the biggest financial write-down in animation history. Under SEC rules, Disney had no choice, but animators interpreted the write-down tantamount to an announcement that Disney had no faith in the film, even as it was just beginning its U.S. release, and before it opened in international markets. Until Disney branded it a failure, Clements, Musker, and Schumacher had hoped that Treasure Planet might still gross $100 million or more worldwide. Now, box office receipts plummeted. Not since the early days of the Eisner-Wells regime, when Eisner and Katzenberg had banished the animators to Glendale, and they had feared for the future of the division, was the animators' morale so low. The Paris animation studio had been shut down after Hercules. The only 2D projects still in production were Brother Bear and Home on the Range. Once again, rumors circulated that Disney would abandon hand-drawn animation altogether. The more cynical observers among the animators, and there were many, couldn't help but notice that Eisner now shifted the blame to Roy for the failure of Treasure Planet. The Los Angeles Times reported that Eisner had raised a red flag about the movie, and it was Roy who intervened to have Eisner greenlight the project. This came as news to the animators. While Roy, as usual, had supported their efforts on the film, using his sailing expertise, for example, to make sure that the sailing knots used on the ship in Treasure Planet were accurate, he had nothing to do with greenlighting the project, as far as they knew. How convenient that the write-off took place and Roy could be blamed, just as the boardroom showdown was intensifying. When I asked Eisner about this, he said that Roy wasn't to blame for Treasure Planet, and that he had never suggested to the board or anyone else that he was. The decision to write off Treasure Planet was the last straw for Schumacher. A year earlier, he had told Eisner he didn't plan to stay beyond the end of his contract, which expired in March 2003. Given the lead time of 4 years for most animated features, Schumacher was making decisions that should be made by his successor. There had been some discussion of his staying on in an advisory capacity in animation while continuing to oversee Disney's theatrical operations based in New York. But now he decided it was better to make a clean break from animation. As the Christmas holiday approached, Schumacher met with Eisner and told him he'd move to New York to run the theatrical division, but added, "You don't want me running animation. I'm too loyal to Roy. The longer I'm in animation, the longer you'll have Roy around." Eisner didn't disagree. David Stainton, head of television animation, was named to succeed Schumacher as president of feature animation. Roy attended a hastily organized farewell for Schumacher on January 3rd. After Schumacher left work that day, someone else packed up his office, and he never returned to the animation studio, where he'd spent the last 15 years. After his promotion, Stainton met with Roy. "I might as well tell you," he said, "that Michael wants to know everything you tell me." This was hardly news to Roy. "Don't worry.